Rebecca, where's your dinosaur mask? Oh, look, Elizabeth's here, even though she said she might not be. How wonderful. Blessings. You guys in this wafty time. Welcome, team. Welcome, team. So yes, we are waftiness itself, and so we are beginning with the Song of the Seal. And so we are beginning with the Song of the Seal. Perhaps. Well, hum it yourself. Oh, there we go.
Song of the Seal. It's Scots Gaelic, but Irish and Scots Gaelic were one language up until the 1600s anyway. But the Song of the Seal, this is a song that would have been sung in the Hebrides and along the northern coast of Scotland on those rocky shores when people from the fishing villages would go out and sing to the seals. And so we know that the Selkie is an Arcadian word for seal. Whereas in Irish or Scots or Manx, you would use roan, but they mean one of the same thing. And there's the understanding of the shape-shifting and the slipping between worlds. And the seal people are the siblings of Manannán mac Liar son of the infinite sea of being. He and his two he was one of a set of triplets, and they were all thrown into the ocean on the orders of his cruel grandfather. But Mononon was rescued. No, not. I had mistold the story.
Perfect.
Lou was the son. Lou was the god whose siblings were the seals, and Lou was rescued by Mononon, and his siblings were rescued by the seals themselves, and so learned how to be seals. And so Mononon, who was the teacher of Lou, who watched over all three of these triplets as they emerged into the world, and who was the oldest of the gods, except for the Kayak, who is the bones of the land. So the bones of the land and the spirit of the ocean were the two oldest gods. And Mononon was a god of vision, a god of revealing things, and a god of concealing things according to what was required, a god of mystery. And among his children, among his people, were the whales, carrying the knowledge from the deepest places back up to the surface. And I think of them, and I think of his spirit as I think about what's happening with orcas right now in the world, and their response to our human arrogance. And I think that first we had, I think it was in 2018 or 2019, there was the orca whose calf died, and she carried the calf in the funeral processions, swimming past the swimming past boats, swimming past beaches. And sometimes other whales would give her a rest by taking up that vigil. But it was a very clear ritual expressing the grief of the whale people, which was also a grief shared with the Coast Salish people, who been treated very similarly to the orcas in that part of the world. But just these past few weeks, we've had a new development in orca culture, where there is a female orca living off the Iberian Peninsula, who was believed to have been injured by a yacht. And so she has trained other orcas to become part of a team that goes and sinks yachts, but allows the people on them to get away on their lifeboats. And so we're getting this more thundering voice of the ocean people right now at a crucial moment, and may it echo widely.
It's a metaphor we want to keep with us, as part of our kinship with the orcas. Sink the yachts and give the humans another chance, right? At manners. And yeah, orcas are called the wolves of the sea, right? Because they're so coordinated and pack intelligent. And it was the orcas that, again, oft referenced, but 2 years ago, marine biologists, well, biologists were saying, what possible use could postmenopausal mammals be, right? And then they go, oh, the orcas, oh, the orcas, oh, excuse us, we were so wrong. It's the orca grandmother that leads several feet or several miles in front. And they found that her mere existence increased the thriving of her pod and her grandchildren, even if they no longer knew her, even if they were part of another pod. So, and they were like, oh, we are humbled. We are humbled. It's everything. It's everything. So that's, part of our metaphor, right? So we are, and I'm going to hand it back to you, Sean, because just a little teensy frame, right? We are in a very wafty Neptune, 27 Pisces, vision of peace, trining Venus in Cancer, you know, all nourishing, all goodness, all grandmothers, you know, coming in, you know, with a quintile to the sun. So we're in a very woo realm. I love Gioia Timpanelli, keeper of Sicilian fairy tales, says there are five ways of traveling: walking, crawling, swimming, flying, and how we're going to travel now. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. So everything real, everything metaphoric, and we are so glad that Sean is returned to us from to the realm of all of us disguised as participatory humans, right? And I don't know if, hello everybody. And I don't know if Rebecca does have her mask on, her lizard mask on. That's right. Feel free, right? We're in our last three councils.
Cornelia's Cornelia's trying to get attention.
Yes.
Oh, I just wanted to add that also what has been interesting is there has been a whole flurry of stories on things that I listen to of animals saving people, animals saving each other, animals asking for help, animals, a lot of albino animals are being born around the planet, you know, whether they're giraffes or zebras or the buffalo and that everyone has been talking about. And then what also came out in this more, you know, just general newsy type thing, but they didn't tell the whole story. They just mentioned that 5 years ago, a little girl was saved by three lions in Africa when her village was raided and she was kidnapped. But they didn't tell the whole story. They just said that the lions stayed with her until they were found, and then they allowed the people to take her. But there was more to it than that. The reason that the lions were there is because the men that had kidnapped her were trying to rape her and train her how to be I think she was like 10, a 10-year-old sex slave for their leader. And she was crying and screaming, and her screams and cries attracted three male lions. And they came and they dispersed the men. There was five of them. And they killed three and two got away. And then one lion took the little girl to a shady spot by a little river so she would have water and that she would have some shade and lay there with her. And then another lion went out and attracted the attention of the posse from the government that was trying to find her. And so this sheriff, who was very cosmic, I mean, he was a more of an aware soul, and he said to his men, "No, I don't want any guns. I'm going to go and I'm going to follow this lion because I can tell he wants my attention." And so he went and followed the lion, and they found the girl. And then he was able to, you know, bring the child home to her family. And that was the original story that came out at the very beginning. And then that story was squashed. I never heard it that way again, except for on some podcast where an African from that area said something about it.
Yeah, no, it is out there. I remember, I think it's about 5 years old, but wonderful, wonderful. Right. And then he just said that when they arrived, the lions just melted back into the forest and disappeared.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So there's a lot of to and fro. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the absolute embodiment of Sekhmet.
Yeah, yes.
The portals are quite open. Exactly. And that's those stories are always a good antidote to what passes for the news, right?
Afterwards,
it's always like dog rescue, animal, lions stepping in. It's like, the real news, the true mythic news, absolutely. And and our metaphoric agility, which we've been stirring, and now it's really in us all. And so to Sean, to play with the metaphor, you have emerged, and since we are all in this dream together, you have a narrative to share in regard to your adventure. I like to refer to our medical dauntingness as I got my medical adventure, right? So anyway, right, even in texting to you, I go, it's the initiatory realms of the arduous spa Asclepion, wittily disguised as a hospital, right? So I was like, all right, pressure, lowering the pressure, however you want to guide us into yourself, and then all of us, like, what would it mean to lower the pressure for everybody and for life itself? Yeah.
It's so interesting. I've been feeling into what to speak here, and I think I will just trust my own flow in it, because there are only a very few people who I've spoken with, who I've spoken about exactly what happened with. But I do feel like this is a good place to be, for it to be received. And I definitely felt the presence of the circle of spirits among those holding vigil for me. So it feels right to repay that with a tale. A tale on many layers and levels. So it was interesting that what was interesting? The whole journey was interesting. I'm still in this kind of strange, wobbly place, because the pressure of the world has actually changed. So it's as though the atmosphere has a different viscosity and gravity works a little bit differently. And I'm still trying to orient myself to the pressure and the experience that my medication allies that I had to work so hard not to resist have been bringing me to. So it's interesting when I think about what happened from a perspective of a Taoist understanding of the organs. My heart was processing too much and pushing too hard and growing too large, while I was desperately trying to hold everything together, so holding massive tension. And the heart, which is the organ of perception and experience of the world, is paired with the kidneys. And my kidneys began to be worn down. And so the action of the heart outstripped the action of the kidneys, which damaged both and brought my blood pressure astronomically high.
Astronomically high?
Yes. And the kidneys are the organ of our ancestral inheritance. So I'm feeling like there's a bit of bargaining I have to do here going forward, to saying to the ancestors, yes, I burned through what you gave me awfully quickly, but look at what I'm doing to try to bring your culture and your knowledge and your ways forward. Can you please let the stream flow through there more? And the kidneys are also the organ in Chinese medicine that hold the water of the river of destiny. And so our destiny is governed by, in part, by our ancestors, in part by the stars, and in part by how we choose to navigate the waters that run between them. So there's some renourishment and rebuilding to be done there. But first, there needed to be the release. And I realized that on the one hand, I had held myself inward tightly so as not to create too much for the world outside me. And on the other hand, the gods and the ancestors were always coming by and saying, hey, let me help you with that. And I would say, nope, nope, I've got it. You go help somebody else. And eventually that reached a point where the muscle of my heart was trying to hold up something immense without the support, without the support that was required. And and so I was several days into my hospital adventure, and they were running out of ideas for medications. And it was last Thursday night, and Caroline was texting me about the Sufi tradition of the great remover of obstacles, who
Mushkal Gusha,
whose night is Thursday night, and about how when you get to that place of absolute surrender and despair and crying out for help, that this spirit is the spirit that brings help. And so a kind nurse who didn't know that he had been drafted into the role of roadman while the vasodilator somehow being injected into my bloodstream was drafted into the role of Grandfather Peyote. And as this medicine entered me, I felt constriction that I've been trying to hold everything in coming apart, and I felt blood flowing into places that hadn't felt sensation in a long time, and I had the world come in and out of vision. And as I was experiencing that, I thought, well, either I'm dying, or I'm letting go of what has been holding me. And in that moment, I allowed myself to sink into the dark waters of the infinite and allow myself to be held by the mother of everything and not worry about what might leak out, because that would all be diluted in the great ocean and transmuted. And at that point, my body understood that it didn't need to hold this posture any longer. And then I emerged into the next round, which was suddenly my blood pressure had gone down from over, I think that night I went 215 over 110 to 140 over 90. In the course of 30 minutes, and my learning to walk into a depressurized world, which I'm still figuring out how to navigate.
And let's tease it, you know, into all of us. Also, we should note that your very being and your manner of speaking is very trancy. And I learned from my dance friend Banafshe, who teaches Middle Eastern dance in just the way it should be, that the word choreography means writing in the air. And I love that.
Ooh.
Writing.
And that makes me think about what Robert Pinsky said, which is that when you speak a poem aloud, you're holding the same column of breath that everyone who has spoken that poem before you has held. And so it's this deeply intimate act. And that makes me think, oh, so if choreography is writing with breath, that is the internal choreography of poetry.
Yes, and she was getting us to make circles and spirals, to write in the air. This is part of our quintile. And, you know, as we relax into ourselves, and you can always turn off your video if you're self-conscious, but we're all here together. We're all here together, you know, because I find I like to move to your speaking, Sean, going there and mon and on. Came through. Yeah, and again, our mind and our hands are both in the realm of Mercury, you know, so choreography. Feel free in mind's eye and or with body, you know, to write in the air, to open portals, to undulate, to sway to Sean's trancy realm. And yeah, so well navigating, lad, the dark waters of the infinite are available to us all, right? Very much so. And what you say, you know, for all of us, one of the main spells of really interesting people is early on in life, I vow to not need any help. It's often justified. and just to, you know, I work with this a lot with self and others, and it's a Saturn thing. We all take vows as young people, and it simply means a working assessment of reality and how we must be to survive. And one of the most common, there's two that I really know well among really interesting people that we're here for ourselves and the team. You know, so one is, I vow to not need any help, because it might have been dangerous, right? It's like one doesn't want the attention of the dangerous mother or the whatever the thing is. And it's useful and true. And we also inherit the vows of our ancestors, how they determined life was and how they had to be to survive. But then, and here we all are, personally and collectively, at a certain point, the once useful vow, a Saturn Pisces kind of a thing, becomes a binding spell, right? And at that point, and here we have it before us all, you know, we get to throw it into, dissolve it in the Neptunian cauldron and ladle out a more fun, more useful one. Because as you were saying, right, the ancestors of your lineage, you know, and all of our lineages in back of us going, could you use some help, right? And even you, lad, are like, No, I might be dying, but no help. I don't. It's like, no, what a good idea. But we get to qualify it, I think, is important. No, willing, here's the earnest, to receive help that is trustworthy. That is trustworthy, from our trustworthy equal allies, right? I think that addresses it. And then anything else that people feel they need to put in as qualifiers, willing to receive help, provided, I think that's fine until one has no objections, right? Until it's like, that would be okay. We might think that would be impossible, but Uranus chimes in and goes, no, it's all possible, right? And it's like, willing to receive help. And, right. So what we were texting a little bit, you know, certainly on the night of Mushkil Gusha, the remover of all difficulties, a great Jupiter being kind of like Ganesh, right? And the tale of Mushkil Gusha, I highly recommend. It's in Idris Shah's book, Caravan of Dreams. And when I became an astrologer at the age of 17 in Andy Weil's Entheo Salon, you know, every Thursday we read the tale of Mushkil Gusha for years. And then the story says, you know, and it requires that to tell the tale of Mushkil Gusha, or to tell a tale of redemption, or give a gift in the name of Mushkil Gusha to someone who will help the needy. And then the people and the animal people who are in real need will always find their way. But yeah, no, I really felt it's like, all right, breathing out pressure, breathing in support, because you were really doing that, right?
Yeah.
And for all of us. Yeah. So under pressure, I think it's so useful, and for all of us to think about, well, what kind of pressure is useful? Because we were talking about this backstage, a tourniquet, right? A pressure washing the deck, perhaps, you know, again, the, but it, so it's a discerning, but the pressure, and I think that's part of the entheogens, and we'll get to Blue Lotus too, is that they want nothing of us but to simply be. So all of the obligations, the to do this and to do that and the thing, the whatever, and it's like I don't have it, have it exactly, but Deborah Felmuth has this wonderful Inuit poem. But you know, my mind was so full of the this and the that and the I owed this to people and I hadn't done this, and then I took my little kayak out into the sea with the seals and rejoiced at the dawn of the day, and that's it, right? So that's kind of where we're going, right? To, because that sense of pressure, I'll toss it back to yourself and anybody, is not conducive to actually getting anything done.
Right.
It's an impediment. It's like, you know, or things I love about my, you know, rascals and procrastinating brother when he was flunking out of Harvard was like, so many things to do. I know, I'll go to the movies. I'm like, I love that part of you. So we love our rascal too, right? Anyway, but yes, so, right. And then your calm, trancy thing, might it have been holding things at bay and now it's more relaxed?
Perhaps. Yes, absolutely. I come from a lineage of dark waters. My the ancestor who gave our family its name was the drowned god, the first of the Iberian Celts to arrive on to die off the coast of Ireland, who then became made lord of the house of the dead underneath the waters. And then I was born on my great-grandfather's 100th birthday, and he was the namesake of an ancestor who had followed Dunn's path, who, when he was approaching death, sought to learn all the magics of the world, and then had nearly accomplished, had fully accomplished the ability to shapeshift, and called his wife in to witness the magic. But when he turned into a form that terrified her and she screamed, the link between worlds that was the portal that was open closed, and he disappeared beneath the lake. Only to be seen every year on the 1st of May, riding his white horses out of the lake at dawn, and having come back during the Great Hunger and during later times, whatever his name was called, to bring help to his descendants. So I come from dark water people, and with my watery sun and watery ascendant, I carry a lot of that dark water.
You know, when you're speaking, I feel that sometimes it might be fun for us to row with you, to paddle with you. So feel free. You know, it's like Waikuki Kangi, wonderful Maori ally, says, you know, if we paddle together, we can do impossible things. Right. So even when you're speaking, it's like there's a rhythm to it. It's like sea shanties, right? It's like Row, yeah. Row, lads, you know, fire, fire, fire down below. Our lads' blood pressure is higher. There's fire down below. Let's fetch a bucket. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Water. The chanting and the singing and the undulating. And, you know, and our metaphoric cauldron for all, you know, known or unknown, to release non-useful pressure, which is very kin to fear and anxiety. It's definitely outsourced Saturn, right? If we're insourcing mm-hmm. our Saturn, it's like, whoa. And it is related to, I vowed to not need any help, right? Which we're now reversing, right? Water reflects a reverse image, right? So the reverse of what most people take to be common sense is actually true, right? So reversal, and yeah. I'm so glad we began with the seals that you suggested. Mm. I'm quite sure I was a seal. I feel like a seal.
Yes.
So there is another vow and spell that I'm quite familiar with that might be useful. These are the two that I know for years. So I vow to not need any help. We are willing to receive trustworthy support, you know, mm-hmm. that we may be more to-ing and fro-ing, that we in turn to be agents of nature's replenishment, right? We can't be dry. So to embody or to embody the thing. So the other vow spell, which I think is interesting, is appropriately early, you know, maybe as an offering to everybody, I vow for part of me to be unfindable, right? Just to protect ourselves from the ongoing inquisition and to protect our own trickster uniqueness. And it's useful, right? And then the way I've loved working with myself and others too, because very often people are, you know, like writing a book or holding a class or doing something. It's like, would you like people to read it? Would you like people to find what you've created? Yes. Well, then let's dissolve this thing and qualify it, you know, in case. I think it's useful, everything mysteriously undulating and uncertain in a good way, in case any of us ever vowed for part of us to be unfindable, and we honor that as justified in the ongoing inquisition for all wizards and witches and unusual people. But that's in case we can toss this into the deep dark water, right? And ladle out each person's customized, willing to be findable, not by any old dingbat or the Inquisition, but by our team of equal supportive accomplices, right? Is that acceptable to everybody? Could everybody go, well, that would be okay, right? That would be okay. Oh, God, that's good. Okay. Yeah. The Rebecca Lizard is nodding, right? That would be acceptable. We are willing to be findable, you know, and it's also the Neptunian realm that we want to keep playing with, that it wants to keep playing with us, you know, is the backstage metaphoric realm, so available now, is the primary strategic realm of influence for the liberating trickster within us all. It's like, first, backstage, conjure the atmosphere conducive to the desirable. Then on stage, it can all be in seconds, you know, but that's what we get to play with. So we can all, you want to say?
Yeah. It's Merlin is coming to mind. And it's at a part of his story that I think we have misunderstood, because we are told that at the end of his life, when Merlin had taught his mysteries to his apprentice Nimue, that she betrayed him by locking his spirit in the trunk of an oak. But I've always felt that actually she saw that the world to come would break his spirit if he witnessed what was to follow. but that there would come a time when he would need to return. And so if we can look at those who played that role of hiding the parts of us that needed to be hidden and thank them for that deep kindness and loyalty, but let them know that their work is done.
Right.
That becomes another way to give a different life to the story.
No, that's great. Well, because we get to be heretics, right? Heretics have been hiding for a while, but now it's ollie ollie income free, because it's a term of praise. It's cross-pollinating contributor to cultures so that knowledge never degrades into dogma or superstition. Yay, team! But so we might be heretical in the way of saying the divine, and indeed fairy tales, you know, the divine wants to be liberated from past confines of human imagination, right? Mm, yeah. I think that's a good heretical thought. Mm-hmm. Like, who said they were jealous and just did thing and whatever and the betrayal thing? Yeah, so I like your, yes, beautiful reframe. And see, in the Jupiter-Neptune realms, Jupiter says a story, Jupiter's first question to us is not, is this a true story, but can you ride this? Right? Mm. It's a seahorse. And it's like, so when you say that, she's protecting Merlin from the sadness to his heart of the inquisitional realm. That's a story we can ride, right? And then the return, yeah. Right? The return, you know, Arthur, Haijon the Conqueror of the South, who goes to reside in Haijon the Conqueror Root to await the world's call at a time when we need positive yang to dance with positive yin. We go, now would be really good. And we have these portals. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 portals available to us to open and invite in, you know, come on back in, you know, come on in to the incarnate realm. The ancestor realm, I think, is interesting. A wonderful friend of mine, ancestor now, hey there, Tom Gleason, professor of Eastern European and Russian history. I wish he were here. He was such a trustworthy voice. But he said, here's the really short history of Eastern Europe. If it's noon, you're being invaded from the north. If it's 12:15, you're being invaded from the northeast and so on. Like that. So safety lies in hiding, right? That's an ancestral thing. And you can see that, you know, all of us in different ways whose heritage had to hide. We are here to dispel, right, the no longer useful spells, right? So and to bless the ancestors, yeah. Going safer for everybody to come on out now. Still terrible things in the world, but safer to come on out. Well, you know, we were speaking about, you know, Jupiter and Uranus in Taurus together now. Not since 1940, you know, and what do we have now available to us that we didn't have in 1940? And it is participatory animism, you know, and I said to you, Fionn Fortune, love her, not a barrel of laughs, but a great mentor, right? Not exactly a trickster, not exactly an animist, but a great contributor, right? And you said, yes, she was invoking the soul of the country.
Right, but not rather than the spirit of the land.
Right, and when I mentioned just the last little bit. No.
Oh, sure.
But when I mentioned that to ally Pat Ewing, my election magic, she goes, "Well, now let us see the soul of the land informing the soul of the country." Right, so it's all cumulative.
Yeah. But it's really interesting to me when I think about the mycelial forces working through human history in those moments and in all moments. But I think about at that very moment when that part was missing and needed to be integrated, and we were right on the cusp of the nuclear age, we had Albert Hofmann discover LSD, and we had Robert Graves, who may not have been a great historian, but was a great listener to the spirit of the land. And a great poet, come across old Mexican manuscripts mentioning mentioning psilocybin and advising the banker who had just written the book about the Amanita mushrooms to go travel to Oaxaca and see what this medicine might have to bring. And if we let go of, yes, there are the cultural imbalances and the history of colonization, and those are very real. But the fact that those are very real doesn't make it not an important Gaian event that those medicines would reveal themselves right at that pivot point in history, again, to a culture that had forgotten them.
Right. And just, all of your words, is quite wonderfully resonant, and just to everything repeats itself in resonance, in life and in the beautiful language of astrology and myth. So when you were saying about the heart and the kidneys, right? So Mars is in Leo overhead. We can see it tonight, quite faint, but beautiful. But right next to Venus, right, they're getting married. We have little mini marriages on our way to the solstice wedding. We keep our frame somewhere in wafty mind, but Mars is in Leo, the heart. And it's often been said that Leos go nowhere, without a charitable heart, which is the meaning of charisma. Charisma comes from charis, charitable. So Mars is in Leo, the heart, and it's got a beautiful quintile to the moon in Libra. Kidneys. So as you are speaking them, they are in quintile. They are in 72 degree relationship. They are happy to open the portal between the heart and the kidneys that you spoke of in your own micro circumstance adventure. And then in response, it goes, and you're in luck, lad. Whether you want it or not, here's more help. Right. The heart and the kidneys, one's creativity and one's relationships is kind of the metaphor. And the moon in Libra is opposite Chiron at 18 Aries, whose image is a magic carpet hovering over drab city streets. So the whole tradition of mentors has a pretty great ride. Right. And just for all of these metaphors that are so eager to go, let's see everybody with a magic carpet. That's certainly a non-pressured circumstance. Hovering over drab city streets, going, ah. And so we have the deep, deep ocean perspective, and then the magic carpet hovering over drab city streets. That's pretty fun. And we have two. Whenever we feel, short meditative reverie, open portals between worlds, musical pieces. I sent you all. We know the missive came a little late. There we go, because it's wafty and beautiful somehow. But there's wonderful things, in there. And I sent you all the link to one of my favorite movies in the world, which is Baba Z's The Prince Who Contemplated His Soul. It's got one of the most exquisite soundtracks. It's about a Sufi gathering, but it begins the movie, and you all have the link to it for whenever. But it begins, I was telling Sean, with a blind grandfather and his granddaughter in the desert. And the granddaughter says, Grandfather, are we lost? And he says, Those with dedicated hearts are never lost, my child. I'm like, Oh, this is going to be really great. This is going to be really great. And it is. It's really great. And it's music that is so full of Neptune yearning. My friend Steve Behrman says we want to recover from having a yearning disability. Bada boom. Right. So it's so full of yearning, and it reminds us that grief expressed with creativity becomes a sacrament of kinship, and so the yearning and the undulating and the aspiration, so we can think of things we want to do. But before we go into opening portals and beautiful short pieces of music and reverie and guided meditation, do you want to dose us with Blue Lotus?
Sure, but first I need to tell a terrible cosmic joke about myself, which
Okay.
is that I have always called that quality of yearning, which sometimes takes the form of recreational melancholy, my chronic cardiac Yates infection. I was exposed, my heart was exposed to too much Yates at an early age. And as,
So what, wait, what did you call it? You call it a Yates? Oh, it's a Yates infection?
Right, rather than a yeast infection, yes.
Right. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we want more banter and dark humor as well as melancholy and yearning. And it's like we want, a varied emotional diet, right? And many ways of expressing. But yeah. So Dream Lotus, when you said it, again, we were backstage and I was like, oh yes. I have some tincture.
Yeah.
I have some tincture somewhere. Right. And
yeah.
But to all of this support for what you've been doing and guiding, releasing our resistance, right? We've had a number of great allies who are like, no hospital, no, that's terrible. It's the big pharma, it's the oh, it's really useful. Right. We are humbled in any of our certainty. Right. So we love that going, yeah, no, right. There are wizards everywhere. Wizards and helpful spirits everywhere if we are available, right? So you had your kind person. So Blue Lotus, do you want to metaphorically dose us before we enter into effective reverie?
Yes.
Okay.
So Blue Lotus is a medicine of denial. And it's a medicine that is deeply kin to Isis. And deeply kin to Nuit, the mother of the infinite flowing darkness. It carries the expansiveness of the infinite flowing darkness of Nuit, but the shimmer of Isis with its medicine. And right now, it is becoming the food that is allowing for the survival of the women in the swamplands of South Sudan, who have been able to keep themselves and their children alive through the gift of this plant sacred to these gods of their ancestors. The Blue Lotus to me is shimmering water. It is the dissolving into bliss. It is sensation becoming fluid. It's interesting because in some ways, I would say the Blue Lotus is the yin kin to Damiana's yang, where Damiana makes it feel good to be in a body in motion. And Blue Lotus makes it feel good to be in a body in surrender.
So, excellent. And we even the word and your choreography, your painting the plant in the air. And can you paint the plant in the air? Is it a little flower like this lotus thing?
It is. Well, it's very closely related to our pondalis. So our yellow pondalis and our white pondalis with their lily pads are the same genus. It actually carries some similar medicine in my experience, although nobody writes about that. So yes, these are basically like blue water lilies.
I was spacing out on people's notes, but yes, absolutely, everything you just said. that's great. I will read the notes. But feel free to. Everybody's carrying on super well. Everybody's doing so well by themselves. Okay, that's great. That's right. Right, and just Rita saying the bigger all-embracing help that arrives knows what's in our heart, even if we have forgotten it in the mess. I think sighing is a good way of releasing pressure too. It's like,
yes,
And what I've been saying to self and others with strong Neptune transits, but really to everybody, Neptune in Pisces, you know, always and even more this evening, says to each person, you know, imagine the feeling that the deepest, most soulful contribution and part of oneself is increasingly culturally welcome in the memosphere. Like, it elicits a big sigh, like, we've made it to the right, you know, just there's terrible mayhem and I'm just all right, and we've made it to the right cultural atmosphere to address the actual atmosphere. And so it is a big sigh. I mean, sighing, taking in air is a great pressure release, like, woo-wee, woof. You know, that's, you know, it's also like the trauma doctors who say, you know, the antelope after being hunted by the lion, right? If it's lucky enough to escape, it shimmies all over, right? And then that way metabolizes the adrenaline so it doesn't take fear with it, right? And that we humans want to do that too. But I think shimmying is good. Sighing also. Wow, you know, boy, it's been a wild ride these last millennia. Right. Well, yeah, congratulations, everybody who made it. Right. And yes, and I remember, whoops, I don't know what happened there. Or did a person want to speak? I don't know. My screen has a mind of its own, perhaps. There we go. All right, so the blue lotus, and then just for our fun, just we go, you know, let all secular be sacred, right? So we're going to go backstage into a reverie and be available, and then also participate as we feel in these short, beautiful musical things. But one of our first acts of, or maybe our fifth act, because we're already doing so much without needing to try. What a relief. Wait, my mind is wafting many places. But remember also, Sean, when I sent you the wonderful Bengtson song that we've all heard.
Yes.
It's so good. It's so good. And I go, every word, Sean, every word for you and every word for all of us, too. You don't need to apologize. There is nothing to forgive. You know, that's such a great song, right? And that's also a big, like, to release that, right? Yeah. So if everything...
And I actually played that in the three... I actually listened to that in the 3 minutes before they were injecting me with the vasodilator that brought that big release.
It's such a good song. We played it in one of our early things. It's so wonderful. It just bears repeating. And it's you know, hope comes. And it is an acknowledging, you know, she sings so beautifully. We are not all right. We are not all right. You know, and it's like, that's a relief. Right. Because, you know, because it's true. It's part of the spell, right? Which is, you know, many people may feel this resonance too when something difficult or terrible happens, like, I'm fine, right? Don't need any help. Yes, I was just kidnapped and drugged and left for dead, but I'm fine, really. I don't need to, you know, it's like it's an embarrassment to receive. And so we're just dissolving that for ourselves and for each other. Right, so the relief going, and the redemption, you know. So I was saying, metaphoric magic, you know, let us dissolve the useless metaphor of the debt ceiling, right? And you had said, and the ecological debt ceiling, right? And as a suggestion, I like replacing it with the altar of accountability, right? It's a Saturn thing. It's like, pay your bills. No, there you go. It's a sacred thing, but a serious sacred thing, right? And then this is just meant to prime the pump of everybody's creativity, to shapeshift the metaphor. The molecules follow along right behind that, right? So and all of our tired metaphors, all tired vows and spells, you know, ancestral, personal, you know, all the tired metaphors go into the dissolving Solway coagula, dissolve and reimagine. Dissolution is the secret of the great work. So, right. So all tired metaphors into liberating, lively, dedicated, you know, each according to serendipitous, you know, dedicated whimsy. Right. So our first piece of music, which is the poems, the poem of the butterflies, and this is from Bob Aziz. Again, I love this music so much. I love this film and the whole soundtrack, and you can all avail yourselves of it. But while Richard's queuing it up, the poem of the butterflies, it's just short and just for us to enter into this dream world, you know, dissolving the old outworn metaphors, you know, and seeing what comes to us, but really reverie, you know, permission to reverie. So here we go with Poem of the Butterflies.
جملگی در حکم سپروانه در جهان عاشقان افسانه اولی خود را به شمع نزدیک کرد گفت حال من یافتم معنای عشق دومی نزدیک شعله بار زد گفت حال من سوختم در سوزش سومی خود داخل آتش فکند آری آری این بود معنای
So just a little bit of atmospheric wafting. And then do you want to frame our next little short piece, the poem of the atoms? The atoms are all dancing, the choreography writing in air. Do you have a frame you'd like us to enter into that short world with, or anybody?
I think remembering the fluidity of structure, and that if we want to change what's happening in time and space, all we need to do is reintroduce the fluidity and introduce currents that are consonant and resonant with the flows at play that follow the same grammar and the same poetics as the prophecy that was playing out. And when in the right meter, in the right rhythm, in the right moment, we can alter where that great poem, the great poem, that's where worlds are transformed.
That will do. So just this another little short piece, the poem of the atoms. I think maybe like with entheogens and music, you know, and remember our word to dream comes from an old English word, dreamon, which meant two things, to dream and to make music, reminding us that to make music is to participate in dreaming the world into being. So like with entheogens, I think music too. So maybe rather than, yeah, what you suggest, you know, trying to do anything, we are just available to this beautiful mystery. Mm-hmm. We are available. You know, it's the Bengtsons, you know, Abigail singing like, you know, help me please. Help, just, we can help each other through this night. So We are proclaiming with this beauty our availability to receiving help and to mystery. Here we go with Poem of the Atoms.
کس که از او چرخ و هوا رقص کنند جان ها ز خوشی بی سر و پا رقص کنند در گوش تو گویم که کجا رقص کنند هر ذره که در هوا خود در همون است نیکو نگرش که همچو ما مفتون است هر ذره اگر خوش است اگر محزون است سرگشته خورشید خوش بیچون
I find that so beautiful. It makes me weep. Yeah. And it fills the atmosphere with such beauty. How could we be cruel, right? With such beauty, how could we be anything but loving and cooperative and to put this into the world and to feel such kinship? I mean, that the music really... It really does it for me. I love this so much. It heals our yearning disability, right? And to feel moved and the poignancy is kinship, to feel the poignancy, you know, of the little girl rescued by the lions, the poignancy, the goodness of those people, to feed this, you know, as part of our ongoing for self and others, you know, to just open the memosphere, you know, for this beauty, yeah? The sighing, the beauty, the we all need each other. Right, and I had a, oh, never mind that. We're all wafty, we can edit ourselves. Right, and then wherever we want to go, we have our so let's say we've done it, okay, in a sense, ongoing with the useless metaphor of the debt ceiling into the altar of accountability, right? And the backstage, you know, just to deal with actual molecular reality, because we were talking about this, Sean, about, you know, you were like, I don't know about this, the agreement that was met, and I'm like, oh. Bo thinks it was okay. Not quite. You know, there is some cruelty. There is some cruelty. The commentary says, not as terrible as it could have been, right? Which is something we can say almost every minute, right? And as Bo said, and the Republicans didn't get all the crazy, truly horrible, horrible things that they wanted, but they got some crazy, horrible things. And he said, just to make their point, Right, the slashing the budget of the IRS so that rich people can get away and not have to pay any taxes, right? And the mean-spirited, attack on SNAP and food stamps, you know. And he said the two points are yay rich and attack those most in need of support and help. He said they got their crucial points there, and see, that's what we're here to do, with that embrace, to go backstage and to weave the structures of support and help to receive help that we can give help, you know. And there is other terrible things, right? That, as I mentioned to you in text this morning, it's like, oh, and Joe Manchin got the Appalachian pipeline approved. And I know so many great, wonderful humans who've been working so long on preventing that sacrilegious blight on the Appalachian Mountains. It's pipelines over water systems and over things, and people have been doing the most beautiful magic and molecules work to prevent it, right? And it's like, oh, so, but nothing's fixed, right? That's right. So we're talking to water again. It's water and trees and forest, you know, under most threat in that particular shenanigans. So however we want to ally ourselves with the Appalachians, with anything near us that we love, and that's what the people who've been working very hard, you know, and I know, you know, like Sarah Jane's wonderful ally Gwich'in in the Arctic, who we tap into her resilience because she's been, and the Gwich'in people have been protecting the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge for decades, going, oh, it's almost, no, they won. No, they're at it. I mean, the Dementors are relentless in their desire to destroy life, right? It's just, right? And we dissolve that into the culture of oblivion. You poor little cells that have lost the capacity to cooperate and have no respect for life or boundaries, into the cauldron of oblivion. You know, that's what we do with the inappropriately enthusiastic cells in our medical adventures. So there's that. So yeah, so that was, yeah, because you were more cautious, because I was like, it's pretty good. And it's like, yeah.
Well, and to me, another one of the core aspects was, you know, even though it's a drop in the bucket, given the immensity of what we're spending on weapons, while cutting the benefits to the poor, they also made the point of increasing military spending. And I just felt like that was a signal of what was at the heart of what was being allowed to operate at the heart of their awareness. And it brought, and I heard the echoes of Dr. King saying that a nation that continues to spend more and more on weapons of destruction, on programs of social uplift, approaches spiritual death. And I felt like, okay, and here's the alarm saying that, The spirit may be coding, so time to call in some big shift. But I was so moved by hearing the way that Barbara Lee is approaching this. And Barbara Lee, for those who don't know her, is the congresswoman from California who was the only member of Congress to vote against both the Afghanistan War and the Iraq War. And before that, she was the chief of staff for Ron Dellums, who was the only pacifist ever to chair the House Armed Services Committee. And I actually met Barbara Lee when I was 15, and I was a congressional page. And the night that the bombing of Iraq began, all of the rest of my cohort were cheering, and I didn't know what to do. So I went and wandered through the hallways of a House office building. And Barbara Lee was in Ron Dellum's office and invited me in and gave me some orange juice and let me sit there and be present in that place of sanctuary. So she has a special place in my heart because of that. And watching the way that she responded, because I feel like it would be so easy to say, how dare you give these things away, Joe Biden? But the way that she was speaking was saying, This was a hostage situation. President Biden was doing everything he skillfully could to end the situation with as little damage as possible. Thank you for being the skillful hostage negotiator. But now we have to look at what are we being asked to give to the people who take the hostages, and is that something we can get behind or
Well,
not? And so it opened up possibility.
and let's call on everything that we've all been invoking too. It's like time for those lions, time for those lions to come protect the children, right? And and also as you're speaking, it's like Barbara Lee is like an orca grandmother. Yeah, there you go. That's right. So time for the lions to show up to protect, the land and the youth, right? And for the wise sheriff to go, yes, we bow to your absolutely. And so it's like it is time for dream big, play fair. Not expecting, because that's a con. Expectation is the partner of disappointment. Like, oh, it didn't work. So many people are like, oh, Beto O'Rourke wasn't elected. I'm never gonna. It's like never. Carry on. Right. So, but willing, and here comes Jornes Trickster, a genius. Again, what we didn't have in 1940, but we do have here and now, which is participatory animism. Whatever good, we are willing, because there's a beautiful thing. Maybe I'll just bring the chart up briefly here, just for fun. So there's so much right. There's so much beauty. And we'll see if we want to see Wanda Sykes or not. Okay. But here's Jornes at 20 Taurus. It's changed degrees. That's always exciting. And it's right next to, it's the same degree as Vesta, little asteroid Vesta, which is keeping the community hearth flame alive. It's the lions protecting the young girl. It's the orca grandmother leading. It's all of the other metaphors that move our heart and that are coming to us now and in our dreams tonight. So Vesta Jornes. And as my friend Sylvia says, where Vesta is where we are divested of orthodoxy. Excellent. The divine wants to be liberated from past confines of human imagination. Ooh, I like, and you can customize it. It's not, it's heresy, of course. Yes. I myself, my own customized Uranus Taurus image of the divine, I like thinking of the divine as a giant, beautiful and dangerous in a good way, coyote, bowing down in front of each one of us, going, woof, woof, wanna play? And we go, yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Beauty and danger, beauty and danger. they always go together in nature. So Vesta. They're divested of orthodoxy. And while we make the dedication, we keep the hearth fire lit, or we light the hearth fire dedicated to community well-being. And it's the community of all beings. It's Taurus. It's the water beings and the beaver beings and the lion beings and the young girl beings and the orca grandmother beings. And it is right next to Mercury at its particular wizard degree, right? In the midst of a wild windstorm, a stranger walks into town wearing a silk top hat, carrying a large black bag, the doctor, magician, collaborator with natural forces. And we go, oh, that's great. Right. And they're getting closer. They're getting closer. It's very wonderful. so I just wanted to bring this up. 20 plus Taurus is the doctrine of signatures, Paracelsus degree. It's a finger pointing to a line in an open book. Everything speaking to us. We open the book at poetry, we step outside for the cloud, all of that toing and froing. And then just a little bit, Jupiter has also changed degrees, and it's the same as the North Node, 3 plus Taurus, which is the rainbow's pot of gold lies shimmering in the mist. And we go, oh, good, right? Windfalls of wherewithal, well wishing to all beings, whatever they need. And then just a little bit to honor the. So as the music, as you were saying, Sean, about whoops, let me just move us over here, about Mars in Leo, heart, Moon in Libra, kidneys, 72 degree angle, really beautiful. So as the music was playing, I just felt like putting my my left hand on my heart and my right hand on my kidneys going, oh, that feels good. That feels really good, right? Mm. So it's our choreography. It's our painting in the air with our organs. It's like, oh. And so just experiment. See if it feels good to put your hand on your heart and go, it's a good heart. It's a good heart. And our other hand on our kidneys going, very good kidneys, that our creativity, you know, may dance us into place with lively, convivial, supportive accomplices in a to and fro of receiving and giving help. That'd be really wonderful. There we go. There. And then, you know, what you were saying about Biden, Biden's son, S-U-N, is trying to yours, Sean, 27 degrees Scorpio, which is the king of the fairies, Neptune's trining it. So we speak to his wizard self as well. And as Barbara Lee said, you know, the negotiating, he's a Scorpio, but we want to see, right? We are, I'm particularly fond of dissolving in the Neptunian realm here, Solve Coagula, all nyanya. It's such a progressive thing, right? It's, you know, and I'm willing now myself to release any internalized progressive nyanya. It's like, yeah, but that won't work. It's like, it's still colonized, right? Nyanya is colonized, right? It's like, but to be clear-eyed, you know, but invoking, it's like, what's the most desirable, cool thing? Neptune is opposite Ceres, Demeter, goddess of the earth. And we go, right, the vision of peace for the earth. We do want that. And then just the last little bits of how we are so blessed. I love the 72 degree angles. Well, yeah, the sun in Gemini quintiles Neptune, that each of us, if wanting, can irresistibly, eloquently speak of mystery and beauty and kinship in Gemini, conversational availability. And remember, the quintile, it can be used for ill, like everything, but it's irresistible eloquence, and it's a capacity to hum, in this case, all of us backstage bards, to hum a blessing, a wish, like a tuning fork, so that it hums in others, and they go, oh, I see that now, that altruism is self-interest, right? That what's good for us, you know, is good for all if we look deeply enough. And then so we have the sun quintile Neptune, so wonderful. We have the moon, and the moon quintile Mars, we address that. That's our heart and our kidneys. We have Mercury, all important, quintile Venus. This is the wizard and the witch. This is great. And Venus's image is, it's in Cancer, right? So we think of it as like, oh, was it? It's like, no, each sign has a particularly smoking degree. This is a downrush of powerful energies, a mantle of power across the left shoulder. let's just do it. You know, it's pretty great. And it's in service to life. And it's here's the wizard, here's the witch. It's really cool. They're equal. It's a kind of Merlin thing. It's a kind of High John thing. You know, yes, a mantle of power. Oh no, the Sabian. Who knows? Humans made these up, so we can play with them. But it's a mantle of power thrown over the right shoulder. Sure, assuming the mantle of responsibility. Yeah, let's do it, team. It trines Neptune, so it's like, sure, what the hell? This is the fairy world is bestowing this on everybody who goes, sure, yeah, we're up for that. Right, the mantle of power thrown over the right shoulder, assuming the mantle of responsibility, feeling the descent of powerful energies, receiving what is being, you know, thrust, right? Heeding a calling and a cape-like flare. Right, that's good. A cape-like flare. There's the Ohana, the kinship of accomplices, right? Isn't that a fun idea? And Venus not only quintiles Mercury but trines Neptune, beautiful nourishment, the ohana of potent equal allies that we can, to whom we can become available if we choose, right? There's no obligation on that thing. And then the last little, you know, is our whole journey so far has been so kindly with Saturn quintile Uranus, discipline and wildness in beautiful harmony. Dedication is freedom. And so we come back to, like, you know, what is it that, to which we are dedicated? So there. And then, you know, and then let's see how we want to do this, John. I have a funny thing to show, maybe. Wanda Sykes is a funny thing. We have a rousing finale. And then anything you want to do yourself. Or not. You know, a toast of Blue Lotus.
I think let's see what emerges. Let's see what emerges.
Okay. All right.
Let's see what emerges.
Yes. Let us see. What emerges from the sea? Let us see what emerges from the sea. That's good. And then also, if anybody wants to, that's great. The Tale of Mushka Gusha, gladly. Faye, okay. Anybody to arrive at a resting place, the sigh. Okay, those are things. If anybody wants to speak forth, that would be good. Okay, I think maybe some levity would be useful now. Is that good with you, Sean? Mm-hmm. Some levity. Okay, yes. I can do this. It's very cute. It's the shadow side of Neptune. Yes. Okay. I can do this. Right. So. Alrighty. Oops. Oh, wait. No. Wait, let me stop the share for a second. Okay. Wait a minute. Stop the share. Thank you for bearing with me. Right. I'm not feeling pressured. That's right. Okay. All right, so there we go. This thing that just passed. Okay. There we go. Okay, it's just a little Wanda Sykes riff about Neptune and how we can also space out. Okay. Uh-oh. Wait a minute.
And I'm just digging through my purse, just rifling through my bag, and you know, I'm talking to my friend, and she could tell that I was distracted. She's like, Wanda, are you listening to me? I was like, girl, I'm sorry, but I think I left my cell phone in the store. And she goes, okay, well, call me back when you find it. It's a true story. I'm coming out of the mall, right? Walking out of the mall, and I'm just digging through my purse, just rifling through my bag, and you know, I'm talking to my friend, and she could tell that I was distracted. She's like, Wanda, are you listening to me? I was like, girl, I'm sorry, but I think I left my cell phone in the store. And she goes, okay, well, call me back when you find it. It's a true story. I'm coming out of the mall.
Sorry about that. Okay. There we go. All right. Thank you, team. But I find that charming. I hope you all did too. Because
that actually happened to me yesterday.
What, you're looking for the thing you're holding?
I lost my cell phone at the grocery store, and they asked me to give them my number to, so they could call me if they found it.
There you go. Right. It's very, you know, it's, the whole world's in a state of aphasia and space out, going, there we go. That's right. And a lot of the words, like, you know, Dementi, are bandied about way too much. We go, it's Neptune. It's a Neptune transit. There we go. That's right. Exactly. And it's a short-term memory loss, long-term mythic vision. Right. There we go. A long-term mythic memory. And we want to play with that. But I found that very charming and heartening. So yes, and then we'll let things emerge. But I feel that we might want to deconvene with a beautiful song pretty soon. I like keeping it not too long, so that people can waft away. Is that good with everybody? Do people feel an ardent desire to say anything or to? Oh, they're happy. They want to waft free. They want to waft free. That's really great. So. Do you have a, well, we have a blessing song, you know, and I'll explain it, but it's very you, Sean Patrick O'Donohue, and the you part of all of us, because it's from the Bengtsons. It's something ancient that popped up because YouTube knows what I like now, and it's called, you know, my joy is heavy. And we do have Jupiter joy, Mushkogusha, you know, redemptive earned joy, with a beautiful sextile to Saturn, which is heavy. My joy is heavy and earned. And the word guru in Hindi, in Sanskrit, comes from gur, which means heavy. Just like people in the 60s go, hey man, heavy. Exactly that way, like, so my joy is heavy is a great song that we're going to play, and it's rousing, you know, and the picture they have with it is kind of cold winter, so just never mind that. But as we, you know, unfurl, you know, our joy is heavy and earned, and heavy is a good thing, substantial, and it reminds us of this beautiful thing that we started off with, which is the Saturn, the vessel. Right, the vessel in all languages, vessel means container, alchemical container, and boat. Right, so we have our vessel, our Saturn, and Jupiter says the rainbow spot of gold, and we're available for social, cultural, personal miracles. Not expecting, but available and willing. and so the Saturn Jupiter dance says, you form whatever vessel each one of you and you and you and you and you form, Jupiter says, I'll fill it. So that's our play now, and to take into this night and this full moon waxing, right? Full moon waxing. It will be Saturday night at 11:41 p.m. East Coast, 8:41 p.m. West Coast. It's the Gemini Sagittarius moon of taking, you know, wisdom into conversational, well, it's choreography, right? It's writing in the air. It's writing in the air with so many great things that we can honor and address, and kinship and beauty and quintiles abounding. But yes, so shall we go into this beautiful song, Sean? And that's good for now, or?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
my kidneys are feeling.
Yes, excellent. That's, yeah, right. Our hearts and our kidneys are eager, and the team, yeah, is eager, going short is good. As Hester Probinson, my wonderful speech mentor, said, no such thing as a bad short speech. All right, we've gone on for a while. Okay, all right. Thank you, team. Again, whatever container we form, Jupiter says we will fill it, and then our joy is heavy. So here, deconvening is the Bengtsons. Don't worry about the picture with the snow. Here we go.